I'm able to be heard. Somebody can give me that thumbs up or hands up or something that all is working. Excellent. Thank you so much. Pleasure. Sorry for the adjustment. Pleasure to be with you this morning and coming to you from Olds, Alberta. Rather be with you in person, but this certainly is a great privilege to be with you. And I must say that my remembrance of the Lord this morning was very sweet, as I'm sure yours was as well. It's caused me to think of a verse. Let me read for you as we just begin this morning. You will remember in the book of the Song of Solomon, there was this Shulamite lady who was betrothed or was in with Solomon, and there was this love relationship. And we have this great love relationship with the Lord. And there was a question asked to this dear girl when she had charged some who are known as the daughters of Jerusalem, if you see my beloved, tell him I'm looking for him. I want to find him. And this is how they responded to her. They said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And of course, the writer goes on to talk about what the beloved is like. And it's very interesting language, and certainly there's all kinds of meaning to it. But when we think about the Lord Jesus, there's nobody, as our brothers very ably this morning said, nobody like him. I'm going to invite you to turn, if you like. We're going to read one verse just to get us going a little bit this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This will be a very common verse, a verse that we often read at a time of anxiety in our lives or a time of death in our lives or a death of a loved one, something like that. And it gives us a little description of who our God is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. When we are going through difficult times in our lives, we certainly enjoy comfort, don't we? We enjoy the comfort of the Lord's people. We enjoy the comfort of maybe our own family. We enjoy the comfort of friends. You know, there's nobody like a good friend on earth. But greater than all that would be the comfort of our Father, for he is the God of all comfort. Turn now, if you would, to the passage we're going to consider, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Again, your mind goes very quickly to some familiar verses that we'll read there and consider. And of course, we won't give this passage its complete exegesis. It will certainly set this tone for where we want to go, maybe even in our next meeting. But I've been considering these thoughts the last few months. Just as the Lord took time before his departure and thought about his ministry on earth, what was going to take place, how his disciples were feeling, he prayed to his Father. And of course, we're thinking about those chapters at the end of John, the upper room ministry, it's often referred to. And as he looked upon his intimates, you might remember that it's been said that the Lord does not have favorites. Isn't that great? You're no more loved than I am loved, and I know more than you, and we know more than anyone else. But the Lord does have those who are intimate with him. We remember that on the Mount of Transfiguration, there were three disciples who went with him there. We'll remember that in the garden, as he would enter into that garden for the final time, at least before he would ascend into heaven, he would take with him three of his disciples beyond the gate. So there are those who are intimate. And we would want, I trust, to be those who are intimate, those who choose to spend time with the Lord Jesus. This is the only way you become intimate with someone. You have to know them. You need to appreciate them. And what glorious thoughts we had this morning of this wonderful man. You know, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. Well, here's the words of the Lord Jesus as he was preparing himself a little bit and, of course, preparing his disciples. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Let not your hearts, or your heart, sorry, be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We'll pause in our reading there for just a moment. There is, time permitting here this morning, three P's or three aspects of this I would like to consider with you. And first, of course, it is the promise of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm going away, but I am coming again. And note some of the words that are at least used in our English language here. In verse number 1 of chapter 14, we have this word, believe in God, believe also in me. We understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we believe, we trust, we accept, we understand, we appropriate all these various words that we can put together in an appreciation of this thought of believing. You know, I have all kinds of people that when they speak to me, I believe what they tell me. Many of you would be gathered there today, and if you came along and told me something, unless it was just outrageous and it was obviously something you were pulling my leg, I would believe you. Then there's other people that we go along and they would tell us something, and you know, because of past events or understandings of their character, we really not sure if we want to believe what we're hearing or not. The Lord Jesus says, you believed God. Now, this was one of the great challenges for anyone in life, is to put our absolute confidence in what God says, and then at their actions to respond in like ways or in that confidence. If you remember when Moses was asked the second time in regards to bringing water from the rock, and he was frustrated, he was challenged in some ways, and he, rather than speak to the rock, he struck the rock twice. And the Lord said, you didn't believe me. I can't quote the verses for us, but he didn't do as he was said or as he was asked. And rather than strike it once, he struck it twice. You know, the Lord Jesus says, believe me. The great promise here is that not only did he say, just believe about me, and we want to do that, but we want to believe what he has said and what is going to come to pass. We can speak of all kinds of prophetic events, but here we have, you believe God, believe also in me. And here's what I want you to believe, at least a portion of what I want you to believe as I prepare to leave this earth and prepare you for what's coming down the line, so to speak. He says, believe that I'm going. Remember, they had all kinds of challenges around that. We don't have much of a challenge with that. He's gone. We can go to the record of the word of God, and we can see him by faith ascend up and be received by a cloud out of their sight, and we believe. Here's one of the great things that we have an appreciation of and the opportunity to do, that we can believe what is this book tells us. I was reading somewhere, just I think it was last night, and it was someone looking to prove the Bible because of science. We don't need to prove the Bible. We don't have to have science or anyone else prove it. You believe what it says. You believe God, the Lord Jesus said. Believe also in me. He said, I'm going. But the great hope and the great privilege we have is not only to believe by faith that he went and understand that, but that he's coming again. What must it have been like that day as the disciples stood? They went with the Lord Jesus, it said, out as far as Bethphara was it, and they looked up, and here he was lifting up his hands, showing the marks of Calvary and ascending up into heaven, giving them this great charge we would record in Matthew 28. And the angels would come along and they said, why do you stand there gazing up? This same Jesus will come in like manner as you've seen him go. And then we read in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Oh, beloved, he has gone, but he's coming again. What a great privilege we have to stand, as it were, upon the promise of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Now he's gone, and he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I suppose all of us at one time or another have been somewhat out of place. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's in school. Maybe you're displaced from your home. Maybe there's been a catastrophe. There's all kinds of reasons why we would be displaced on earth. And right now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we really are out of place, aren't we? Oh, we may be comfortable in our position as far as our job or schooling or have a nice home or not a nice home, or we don't think, but we have a home, we have a place in the assembly. Dear brother back home used to refer to that as in regards to our place in the assembly. But the Lord Jesus has gone to bring us to our place, or we better say his place. Gone to prepare a place for us. He said, I go and I will come again. Brothers and sisters, we can, in the words of our society or in the vernacular of the day, we can take that to the bank. And we understand that the banks, of course, aren't as nearly, if the comparison is even there at all, to the words of the Lord Jesus. Believe him. He's coming again to receive you and me and all who were dead in Christ and all who are alive and remain. We will be caught up together in the air, in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Sometimes there's some talk about the millennium and the timing and what will take place and where will we be and all of those things. We'll be with the Lord, where he is, we will be. Absent from the body for those who have gone on before us. And if death takes over our part in this world, so to speak, or our life, we too, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, there's also contained for us in the next couple of verses another part that I will say begins with P, and that was a bit of a problem. Let's read, if we can, verses 4 and 5. And whither or where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus has said, believe me, and then he would say, you know. And then Thomas would respond by saying, we don't know. So we see the principle that we need to believe the Lord Jesus. Doesn't mean we don't always understand, or that we always understand. We have an appreciation of that. But as we have or I have labeled this a problem. Let's look at it from the perspective that Thomas had. His heart was breaking. You know, as we come together and we remember the Lord Jesus, sometimes our heart does break, doesn't it? We heard Harold mention that at the first. The one who heals the wounds, the one who binds up the heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. Sometimes there's difficulty. So, you know, we think of the Lord Jesus being gone, and sometimes we are just brokenhearted that we're not with him. But we have the great promise that he's in us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. As you know, we're not with him in the or in the body, so to speak, right now, but he's with us, indwelling us by his Spirit. We don't want to be too hard on Thomas and maybe the others who had similar thoughts, in the sense that they don't have or didn't have the same perspective we have. We have the completed Word of God. If we had time, and sometime maybe we'll go into it and we'll think perhaps a little bit along these lines a little bit later, but our brother shared with us in the first meeting as well, but the Lord Jesus was going to the Father. We have that revelation. We have the full revelation of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I came to glorify my Father. I came to do his will. I came to glorify his name, and so on. And he accomplished those things. And we have that before us. And so our perspective is just a little different than Thomas's, but understand that the proclamation of the Lord Jesus was that you know. Later he'll say, I have made known you unto those. In another place he'd say, who are kept, I've lost none save the son of perdition. So we have the great privilege this morning of knowing who the Father is. Now, if we are going to be again intimate with someone, we do want to know them. And I give us a little word of encouragement this morning as well, as we come away from a meeting where we have just sat in such wonder, beholding. As someone said, there's nobody like him. And we have the great privilege of being intimate with him, but it does take time. You've heard it said, for those of you who are married, you will understand this right away. And those of you who want to be married and will be married one day, well, be encouraged in this. You won't just get to know your wife or your husband by working all the time, or sitting around the supper table, or even walking down the street with them. You'll want to hear about them. You'll want to experience their lives. You'll want them to experience yours. And as you grow closer to one another, you become more intimate. Oh, that we would be intimate with the Lord Jesus. Take all that he has revealed to us of the Father as he sought to glorify his Father. We read this morning that his name is above every other name. You read through the Old Testament and you find how great care God and great importance and place he put upon his name. Great is his name and greatly to be praised. Finally, as we finish up here for our first session here this morning, we have the plan, and it's revealed to us as we go on through the rest of this chapter, and we don't have time to read it all for sure, but let's read one more verse, verse number 6. So we have the promise of the Lord Jesus that he was coming again. We have the proclamation of the Lord Jesus. He said that you know the Father and you know the way. You'll say later, Thomas, he that's seen me has seen the Father. Father said, in him was pleased to dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. here's how the Lord Jesus responds to Thomas's, can we say, perspective. Verse 6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, when you think about it in our little letters of P, as I'm trying to, just for our memory's sake, that's some plan, isn't it? The plan is that all who will come to the Lord Jesus through faith come to the Father. And great is his name. Great is his person. We stand up and we look at the stars. You know, man looks at a creation, or not even a creation, a manufacturing he makes in his wood shop. Lots of men like to have wood shops. They have lathes and they have tools and they make nice things, beautiful things. And they come along and someone looks at that piece of wood that they've used and manufactured or molded. And they say, wow, isn't that something? That is exquisite. That is fine craftsmanship. That is whatever, however they want to describe it. Then man comes and looks at the tree and they say, yeah, nice tree. You might have more description than that. BC has lots of beautiful trees. But think about the fact that the Son of Man became manifest in the flesh. And we have to stand in awe and wonder and bewilderment, not at what man has done. Yes, at what God has done. He made the tree. He created all the wonder, the stars. We see that. We say, great is our God. And we are able to know him because God became manifest in the flesh. Is there any wonder that onto his name will there be all glory given? Great is our God. Great is his name. May our praise of him this week bring forth much glory. That's the purpose of our creation, to bring glory to the Father for his name's sake. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We lift up your Son this morning as we have done. We, Father, are so grateful this morning for the ability, the grace of God that allows us to hear such things such as, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We understand that, yes, no one can come to you except through the Son, and we thank you, Father, that many of us have come through the Son. And so, Father, we lift up your Son this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless thy people, we pray, in the worthy and matchless name of your Son. Amen.